Now the children are dismissed to children's church. When Joe came back up on the chancel, he said, "Boy, you took a big risk not letting..." It wasn't about Sam holding the liquid. It was about Joe holding the liquid. I ask you to stand as you are able. If it is difficult to stand, put your hand over your heart. In the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse, the word of the most holy God says this. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' He said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And when he said this, on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. On the first day of the week, the women went to anoint Jesus' body, and it wasn't there. And they came back and they told the disciples, "We have seen the Lord. He has risen as he said he would." And Peter and John rushed to look and found the tomb empty. Yet, on the evening of that first day, they're still hiding in the house, the door locked, because they were afraid of the Jews. Still afraid, confused, wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared among them. I cannot wait to get a resurrection body. My shins cannot wait for me to get a resurrection body. Because you can walk through walls. And I stumble over everything. But it'll be so great. We won't need cars because we can translate. Whoosh. I'm looking forward to that. And Jesus, whoosh, was among them. And I'm sure they felt like you and I would have felt. That, you know, okay, we've either lost our minds or this is a ghost or, you know, something bad is going on. You know, it's kind of, "I see dead people." You know, you just, that's usually not a good sign. So when they first saw Jesus, I'm sure they were terrified. And he said the thing that had been said, one Jew meeting another, for thousands of years. Shalom Aleichem. Say that. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. It means peace unto you. To which you are to be responded to, Aleichem Shalom, unto you peace. Don't just slide over that. Because that blessing is an amazing thing. First of all, it's a blessing of well-being. It is a blessing of wholeness. It is a blessing of giving someone all that you can give them when you say, "Peace be unto you." That means peace in your body, peace in your mind, peace in your spirit. It means wholeness to you. Wholeness, which is what Christ came to give us. a broken people in need of healing. He came to give that wholeness. So when he pronounced that blessing upon them, he was pronouncing on them well-being. The Jews also believed, and you know, God doesn't run roughshod over culture most of the time. He works within cultures. So they also believed that if you had this wholeness of being, that the devil couldn't touch you. So giving someone your peace, blessing someone with God's peace, to say Shalom Aleichem was giving people protection. A blessing of protection against whatever the devil could do. Shalom Aleichem. Thank you. See, we got one that got it. Try it again. Shalom Aleichem. You know that if you look, you're going to find that on a lot of tombstones in a Jewish cemetery. Because peace is salvation. Rescue. Oneness with God. Being in God's presence. So when this blessing was offered, it's way more than, hi, how you doing, guys, I'm back. It was the peace of God, the peace be unto you. And when two people meet and one says, Shalom Aleichem, and the other one says, that creates a unity between them. A oneness. There's no conflict between us. Now that's also a very important part of this, because what did the disciples do when Jesus was arrested? They bugged out. They ran and they hid. Peter denied him. The others just ran off. They needed to reestablish that broken relationship of abandonment. And Jesus appeared to them and offered them unity. See, what happened then in just that simple phrase, he became reconciled to his disciples. Reconciliation is the first part of what we call being born again. We are reconciled, brought back into unity with God the way human beings were intended to be. And then Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. See, the thing is, one of the things we think about being born again is that we're reconciled and we're done. You know, what we went down front. Went down front, so everything's all right. A lot of people, you know, the older people in this room know exactly what I mean when I say went down front. Because that's what people used to say when someone was born again. They went down front today. They went down front, down to the front of the church, and declared themselves a disciple of Christ, declared what they believed, gave themselves to him. But folks, that is just the step one, because we're not saved just to be saved. We are saved because we've got a commission. We got a job to do. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. In Luke chapter 4, he says what his mission is. That he is here to Preach the good news to the poor, that he is here to free the captives. He's here to give sight to the blind. Those are the things that we're to be doing. Proclaiming God's favor. Do you know how many people in this world think God hates them? I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I've had people tell me, God can't forgive me. I've done bad things and God can't forgive me. Number one, that's an extraordinarily arrogant statement, because it's just like, I can be so bad, God can't forgive me, which is not possible, because God can and does and wants to forgive. But to proclaim that God loves you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything, but I'll bet there's more than one person in this room that believes God's been mad at you. God's mad at me. I wonder what I have done. You know, it always amazes me honestly, let me just clear something up for you. If God is ever punishing you, you will know what for. Okay? If you're going, what have I done that God would do this to me? Chances are it has nothing to do with God doing something to you. We live in a fallen world. What have I done? Promise you, if you are being punished, you will know what you did. You'll know. God loves you. And he's a perfect parent. So he will encourage you and cajole you and teach you and, if necessary, punish you. All so that you will become all that you can be. So that you can see and not be blind anymore. So that you are free and not a captive of sin. So that your poorness, I don't care how rich you are in material goods, so that your poorness of spirit can receive the good news of the richness of God. That's our commission. If we don't tell them, who will? But he doesn't just give us a job without giving us what we need to do it. The Holy Spirit empowers us. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that God formed human beings from the dust of the ground and breathed into Adam the breath of life. It is not a coincidence that John, the writer John, wanted us to know that Jesus is God, and he described the way that the Holy Spirit comes upon us as Jesus breathing on the disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because, friends, we don't have to do our job on our own. God Almighty is inside of us. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit actually is inside of you. You know, not like you're a puppet, or not like, you know, alien, or that you're possessed, but that he actually lives inside of you. And at that moment, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get, and you spend the entire rest of your life giving what there is of you to the Holy Spirit. To become more like Christ. To become all that you were created to be. When I first began ministry, I had a vision. I don't know if y'all believe in visions, but I had one, so I know they exist. I've actually had more than one, but it's not like something that happens every day. So when it does happen, you pay attention. And when God told me now is the time, and now is the time for you to go into ministry, he gave me a vision of what that ministry was. I was sitting in church. I have no idea what Bob Walker was preaching that day, because I was just overpowered by the Holy Spirit, and I saw with my spiritual eyes the cross of Christ and the light was coming from the cross, and that cross was so bright, and I saw people, all kinds of people, young, old, every race, every different kind of person that you can imagine, beautiful people and ugly people and big people and little people, and just all of, it's like I could see all of humanity walking, but they were walking like this. They were beaten. They were hurt. They were all in rags and tatters, and they were walking, and as they passed under the light of that cross, their clothes became gleaming white. They were in armor. It was shining and beautiful, and they stood up straight, and all the marks on their body, the scars and the blood and all of those wounds were gone, and they were perfect. And they went and they stood in rows. And I asked God, what does this mean? And in my spiritual ears, he said, the body of Christ is wounded. They're walking around like they're defeated. But the power of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God is there. If they'll just stay in the light, they can do anything. And he told me that my mission is to help Christians become all that they were created to be. Because if you become all you have created to be, then you can't help but tell people about Jesus. You can't help but be out there helping heal the sick and feeding the hungry and visiting the lonely. If you stay in that light and stay with your armor shining, then there is no way you can be anything but all you were created to be. And the world may never know your name, but that check mark there in the Lamb's Book of Life is really all I want. The world may never know your name, but I just want to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Holy Spirit empowers us to be all we can be, to do what we have been commissioned to do. He transforms us so that we are born again. Born again, we start off brand new. And then at the end of what we read today, it says that we have the power to forgive sin or to retain it. Now that is a troublesome thing that many people just don't understand. This is one of those troublesome passage sermons. This is one of those things where it says, you know, what do you mean? I've got that power. The church has that power. Only God can forgive sins. Yes. But the power is within us to either tell or not tell. If we do not tell people about Christ, if we do not share His love, if we do not explain forgiveness, then the souls of humanity that are lost are on us. Okay, I realize that's a hard word. I know that's tough. But folks, we've got to start taking our job just a little more seriously. Because there's a whole lot of people out there who don't know about Jesus. And who will tell them if not us? Well, they don't want to hear. How do you know? Did you try to tell them? Well, there's a church on every corner. That's true. There's also a bar on every corner. There's also a mouse's ear every place you turn around. There are a lot of things out there that tempt people to follow their baser instincts. They're not going to come here unless somebody invites them here. The souls of humanity are our responsibility, and we're going to be accountable for them. Not just me. Not just me. When you stand before God one day, you're not going to say, well, Lord, we paid Susan to do that. Let me just tell you right now, don't try that one. Because there are people that you can talk to that I will never see. There's people that you can show with your life that I will never meet. You are where God has put you for a reason. And you are the best person in your circumstance to share the love of Christ. Don't be like the disciples hiding in a locked room because you're afraid. Well, I don't know the Bible well enough. The disciples didn't even have a Bible. Holy Spirit gives you what you need to say when you need to say it, which doesn't mean don't read your Bible. But folks, that power is within us. And it's more than just getting ourselves to heaven. It's about transforming people into disciples to change the world. And God is still in that business. And it's exciting to be a part of it. You get to be a part of the greatest work ever. So don't waste it. Live into it. Enjoy it. Make a difference. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.